Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. This is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast today. Today is part two of our three-part interview with Ken Bader. Ken is the founder of the Police Officers Credit Union Association, which assists law enforcement professionals in achieving their financial stability and financial goals by having the police credit unions, which are completely different from traditional credit unions in that they focus on helping the law enforcement professionals. Where most of the credit unions and banks and things like that, they're just your traditional, they're trying to market to everybody. These credit unions are special, and Ken is in charge of that association, and he's been joining in with us today. He's been explaining to us about what the vision is for the Police Officers Credit Union Association and what makes them different, and he has been giving value bomb after value bomb. You need to understand what this is, especially if you know someone who's in law enforcement or you are yourself. Now, pay attention. We're going to jump right back now into the interview with Ken Bader. How do those organizations that are part of your association, how do they collaborate together to improve services, you know, across the credit union sphere for LEOs?
A few different ways. The primary way is we do have an annual conference. We just had ours a couple months ago this year in Washington, D.C. in May. We'll have our next annual conference in May of next year in downtown Denver, Colorado. But it's about a two and a half day forum where, frankly, we force it force is probably a strong word, but we force networking and collaboration in a few different ways during those 2 or 3 days. Some of it is informal in that we've got a couple of receptions and a dinner where people are exposed to each other. And then we also, which has been very popular over the last 4 or 5 years, we have a formal collaboration networking session almost always to kick off our first day of the program. You know, we spend about an hour and a half, 2 hours, and I do this myself as the facilitator beforehand, is I look at all the attendees and we move them around to 4 or 5 different tables. And I deliberately create a spreadsheet and try my best to get people to meet new people. And, you know, we put together a list of 3 or 4 questions as starter questions for their table. They certainly could talk about something else if there's an issue or a problem or an opportunity. But we give them the foundation whereby they're forced to meet different people and, in essence, you know, encouraged to talk about topics that are not only specific to police credit unions, but because we've got police partners and other organizations that serve police that may not be a credit union, you know, we talk about topics that are specifically about the business of serving law enforcement. So they get a lot of networking from that program itself. And then we also do what we found is some smaller programs seem to work pretty well. We usually have 1 day programs 3 or 4 times a year, for instance, in September. And we try to do them in conjunction with other law enforcement events. So for instance, one of our other police partners, How to Love Our Cops, is putting on a home watch event for law enforcement spouses in Southern California on Friday, September 6th. On Saturday, September 7th, since there'll probably be a couple of police partners involved, maybe a credit union and one of our business partners, we're going to have a police partner day that'll start at about 11 o'clock and end at about 5 on the Saturday, where we'll do some networking, we'll do some collaborating about what to do in the future, how to grow each other. In October, we'll have our fall collaboration meeting, which is, again, just a 1 day program. That is going to focus more on helping the executives of police credit unions to collaborate and grow and come up with ideas. That will be on the front end of the International Association of the Chiefs of Police conference in Chicago. So we try to do these one days, which usually only has about 10 or 15 people. But because of that, we get a lot out of it because it's a small group. Right. And the last thing is we do something similar to this. You know, we get on Zoom, I would say, maybe once a quarter, especially if we don't have a in-person program coming up, where we get on Zoom and we get our business partners or executives or police partners or a combination thereof to talk about the issues that are going on right now and how we may be able to help each other. So there's a few ways that we try to foster the collaboration, not just networking and talking, but foster the collaboration among these different entities.
That's awesome. The topics that you cover at your conventions and even the one-day things, are they – you said that it's dealing with things that are going on right now, but are the presenters like the executives of these other credit unions and they come in with maybe they had a novel idea that they're implementing, they want to share it with everyone, or what goes on with that? How do you find your presenters and what are the topics that they try and share with everyone?
All of the above, Robert. Examples there. Certainly we do some of that. What I've been very focused on over the last 3 to 5 years is my background is more on the financial side than on the law enforcement side. So in the first, I'd say, 10 years or so of our group, we focus more on some general credit union topics. Which were okay. We gave people some good information, but for those that may be familiar with either the credit union or banking industries, there are conferences and conventions and events all year long that talk about general financial wellness stuff for financial institutions. There's no shortage of that. I even joked when, I worked for that Bankers Bank that I mentioned in Chicago before I got canned. We were a business-to-business organization, and I would always joke that I could hire one person to do nothing but go to conferences, conventions, golf outings, chapter meetings, at other events that are related to credit unions around the country, and that individual would be busy every single week. They would have a rough time finding one day per week to just sit in the office and coordinate their schedule. Yeah. So about five years or so is, and shame on me because one of my few skills is being a branding expert. Yeah, shame on me that it took so long, but it finally dawned on me around 2014, 2015, where some of this unfortunate feelings in the country with Ferguson and Trayvon Martin and so forth were beginning to unfortunately build up steam. Yeah, it dawned on me. It's like, why are we talking about financial wellness? That's not important. It certainly is, but I can reel off probably off of my head 12 different venues and events that my people can go and get that if they need it. Yeah, right. Let's talk about specifically the business of serving law enforcement. And I argue this, I'll argue this to my grave, and have been doing this for the last 5 years, that the real distinction and importance to the institutions that are part of our association is their fine ability, their expertise in serving police officers, more so than offering a checking account or a loan or anything else for that matter. So to circle back to your specific question, when we put together the agenda, my focus is always on how do we talk about the business of serving law enforcement families first, and then if we need to talk about some basic financial institution stuff, we certainly will do that, but that'll be very secondary to our focus on law enforcement. So from that standpoint, yes, many times we'll have a panel where sometimes it'll be executives of these police credit unions, which talk about some of the innovations of what they're doing to serve law enforcement in their area. Also, we'll bring in people from the outside that either work at police foundations or other law enforcement organizations to talk about what they're doing for law enforcement, how that may apply to the credit union particularly. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes when we do that, we find that the police credit union realizes that, hey, you know what, if the officers need a shoulder to cry on, that's perfectly fine. I do have some resources to put them towards if I can't give them the help that they need. We also, in terms of speakers, you know, we listen to our association members. You know, certainly there, when it comes to our conferences, non-members are welcome. They've got to pay a little bit more. But you know, when it comes to putting together agendas, I take the feedback of our association members very seriously. And two very quick examples. One, after the last conference, they said, you know what, we want to learn more about branding our unique business and marketing it through different avenues. And so I'm actually talking to one of our business partners for Denver in May 2020, where our program is going to be an interactive program whereby the attendees are creating a marketing plan from scratch right there during the conference that they can take back to their institution. The other example, and I'll end the answer with this, is many times I find with these smaller programs, these one-day programs, is I will put together a loose agenda just so we have a framework. But I would say, you know, 3 out of 4 times, you know, the attendees come with ideas on what they want to speak about. And as long as it's relevant and we're moving in the right direction, there's many times I throw the damn agenda out and I just facilitate their discussion so they get the most out of the subjects that they want to talk about.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's good. Just in case someone can't listen to the entire interview, I want to give you an opportunity to share your contact information with them. If someone wants to get in touch with you, ask a question, maybe do an interview such as this, or more information on your association, how can they do that?
You know, the best place to go is just simply our website, which is www.policecreditunions.com. Credit unions is plural. You'll certainly find contact info there. And anybody is always welcome to contact me directly. Best way is via email, and that's simply kbator, B-A-T-O-R, at policecreditunions.net. The website is a .com. The email is a .net.
Okay. <Amen. laughs> Got that little differentiation going on there.
Yeah, long story on that one, but it's the website is .com and the email is .net.
I want to ask you now about a program called that you have shared on your website called the 4 Pillars of Success. Okay, tell us about that.
Yeah, that is actually the 4 Pillars of Soundness. I guess if you're sound, you are successful. So that's not a bad way to look at it, Robert. Mm-hmm. It's what we call the soundness initiative, within the Police Officers Credit Union Association. We started that, around January or February of last year. Our original intent as we continue to grow the POC way was to develop and offer what we call soundness summits to law enforcement families throughout the country. And in 4 specific areas. One, obviously financial, because we have the expertise there. Also physical, emotional, and professional. Now, you know, the professional, we found that we need to get another business partner or so that can really talk about the law enforcement profession, But we got the financial, physical, and emotional covered through our credit unions and our police partners and business partners. So the intent was to provide these summits through our credit unions to not only provide true value to law enforcement families, but also highlight our police credit unions, because I truly believe that that our police credit unions, our POCUA police credit unions, should be the primary financial institutions for law enforcement families throughout the country. And ironically, just as a quick side note on the Soundness Initiative, because the second reason for this, secondary to the support of law enforcement, is to drive more business to our POCUA police credit unions. Right. It surprises me over the years that I've talked to officers in different parts of the country, some of which that actually do have a police credit union, that tell me there is such a thing. There are financial institutions that just serve law enforcement. And I joke, I says, yeah, they got websites and ATMs and tellers and everything. You know, it's pretty cool.
I didn't know that when I was active. I did not know that there were, you know. So.
Yeah, I was talking to a Dallas police officer, I want to say 3 years ago, and he had said the same thing. He didn't realize that there were police credit unions. Now, you know, Dallas technically does not have what, in my by my definition, a police credit union in the city. So I can understand why he wouldn't know, but still, I took it upon myself that as the CEO and founder of the POCUA, we're doing a pretty poor job of branding. If officers around the country don't know that these institutions are available, so. To finish the answer to your question on the Soundness Initiative, the original intent was to provide support to law enforcement and create more brand awareness for our police credit unions through summits. And that is still on the table, even though we haven't offered a summit yet. But what we found, what I found personally about 6 months into it last year, is that there were a number of organizations like Serve and Protect, like How to Love Our Cops, like Yoga for First Responders, and a number of others that were already offering something very similar or a portion of something similar to what we wanted to offer. So we shifted in true entrepreneurial fashion. I don't want to recreate the wheel where it's not necessary. In true entrepreneurial fashion, what we did was we changed our focus to creating this police partner program for 501c3 law enforcement organizations to be able to join our association without a fee, as long as they're 501c3, but collaborate with us on how we can work together to eventually create and offer these summits, rather than all of us doing something similar but a little bit different around the country and recreating the wheel and cannibalizing something that anybody else is doing, because that's not the purpose either. So that's the Soundness Initiative and where we are with it today, Robert.
That's cool. And you also have a program called the Police Partner Program. How do those, what is that, and how do those two tie together?
Well, the police partner program is going to be what we leverage to eventually bring the Soundness Initiative truly alive, because we need these organizations to do a few things. One, to be able to provide those different areas of expertise in those four pillars, especially the other three pillars other than financial, and then also to be able to put the word out. As I mentioned, the police partner program is for 501c3 law enforcement organizations. We prefer them to be nationwide, but if they're more regional, that's fine. Well, we're more than happy to talk to them as long as they're passionate about serving law enforcement. And we don't charge a fee, but one of the things that we do require is that they only promote our POCUA police credit unions. Again, nothing against other financial institutions, but we think we have the cream of the crop when it comes to serving law enforcement financially. So that's one of the criteria, is they have to put our logo on their website. They have to promote only our police credit unions. We also ask them to post certain things on social media that are promoting our police credit union specifically. Also email blasts if they have an email list. So basically it's another arm to, one, promote our police credit unions, our POCUA police credit unions, and two, also create awareness, especially as I alluded to earlier, to these police officers and law enforcement families, that there are these institutions out there. That, you know, even if you happen to be in Billings, Montana, and which is a city that doesn't have a police credit union, darn it, if you're a law enforcement family, you know, I'll do whatever I can to find a credit union within our group that is going to be able to serve you.
Amen. Amen. And I know they appreciate that too. Amen. Now, you talked a little bit about, you know, how new CEO came in and you lost your job and all that. And you know, I've been there, as we discussed prior, you know, that those are definitely unexpected times, and it can create a rough environment for the family, for personally, you know, emotionally. Now, is that what, when you lost your job like that unexpectedly, and we know that's where you got the idea of, you know, doing what you're doing now with using your entrepreneur degree, but is that also which led to your book, The Formula for Success? You know, tell us a little bit about that time in your life and how that book got started.
Yeah, great question. Yeah, in essence, it did. You know, and you're exactly right. You know, it probably tossed my life into chaos more so than that I realize now than when, you know, that actually happened. Yep. You know, and exactly. in some ways, you know, in a small way, it contributed to my divorce. There were certainly a lot of other things going on, my problems, her problems, whatever, than just losing that job and starting a business. But certainly that was a contributor, you know, and it was a rough time. So I completely understand when somebody loses a job unexpectedly, especially one that they put, you know, a lot into, which I certainly did. I will certainly also, in another forum, I could talk about this for half an hour. I won't today, but certainly, you know, in reflection, you know, look back and have accepted and embraced the blame that I take in having that happen. Certainly, there are things that I could have done and should have done or shouldn't have done that would have made that less of a probability of me losing that job. But having said that and getting back to the book, yeah, you know, actually, you know, after my MBA, I went into a certification program at the University of Chicago on integrated marketing for the VP job that I ended up earning, the last job that I had at that institution. And one of the courses was on branding. And it really did open up my eyes, because for most of the time that I was in corporate life, you know, I bounced around trying to learn so many things, you know, trying to, you know, I would go to one program, you know, seminar on empowerment. And then, you know, I would run and read a book on reengineering. And then, you know, I would, you know, pick up an article on Six Sigma or something. And I would sit there and think, all right, all of these ideas are good. But, you know, what's one better than another? Can I do all of them at once? You know, how do they fit together? And, you know, that branding curriculum that I had kind of put it together. And it dawned on me that, you know, that whole, you know, brand culture strategy, what's the image we want to promote out in the public? What's the experience we need to create both for and through our employees? And how do we drive more of the right business to our business, that brand culture strategy idea, you know, really is those three buckets. Yeah. And I kind of developed that in my mind, not because I'm the smartest person in the room, but because I needed to understand. Yeah, I always joke that, you know, I've got a lot of education, but, you know, damn it, I struggled hard to be that B+, A- student. You know, I studied, you know, read, and, you know, I didn't understand, tried to figure it out. And I was always annoyed. I always surrounded myself around some pretty smart people, smarter than I'll ever be, that, you know, would read something for 15 minutes, come in the next day and get an A+ on a midterm. That was never me. You know, those people annoyed the crap out of me.
Hey, everyone. Pastor Bob here. We are all out of time for today's episode with Ken Bader. I'm telling you, I because of my background in law enforcement, I can understand everything he is talking about, and I can relate to everything he's talking about, which is one of the reasons why I wanted to have him on our podcast today. Because of his Christian background and the impact he is having in the law enforcement world, you would be amazed at some of the things that the law enforcement professionals are seeing. And Ken is helping, his association is helping the police credit unions to basically minister to the law enforcement professionals, designing programs unique just for them. And I'm hoping you're getting a lot out of this. If you are a law enforcement professional, you need to reach out to Ken's association and let them connect you with a police officer's credit union. If you know someone who's a law enforcement professional, you need to do the same, because it is something that is unique that only other people who understand what you are going through can really help you design products and services that actually meet your needs. Now, tomorrow, come back and join with us as we conclude our interview with Ken Bader. This is just part two. We still got an entire episode to go where Ken is diving deep on the information he's providing us. It's an awesome conversation. I know you're getting a lot out of it. Until then, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do.
Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this: your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on Faith-Based Podcast. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.